Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, how are you? How are you doing with daylight savings? It's like now 2 days in. Did it hit you hard?
No, actually, because on Saturday, I had to pull an all-nighter to finish. So for one of my quantitative research courses, I have to do work with the R Studio, which is just a programming language. And I had to finish an assignment and I stayed up. The only thing that it did was I think at like 1:30, I was like, okay, I should be done by 4. And then for some reason, at some point, I looked at the clock and it's like 4:30. I was like, what just happened? Where'd the time go? And then I remember it was daylight savings. But so it didn't really affect me because I was going to be super exhausted already anyways. And today, it pretty much just felt like a normal day. All the clocks are moved forward. So no, it did not affect me as much, but I pulled an all-nighter. So I think that affected me more. So daylight savings just like, okay. How about you, Dustin? How did daylight saving tackle you?
I did fine because it didn't really have an effect on me. Usually it affects me, usually hunger-wise. Like I get, my hunger gets thrown off. Like sometimes I forget to eat because my stomach doesn't know when it's supposed to eat or what time it's supposed to eat. But I've been living in my own time since October because I've been living East Coast and West Coast time at the same time. So it hasn't really affected me. So yeah. It's just another day. I do like how it's lighter out at this period of time. It's like it's 8 where you are. It's 5 where I am. But yeah, it's pretty light. And I'm really liking that because I like spring going into summer sort of feel. So that way it reminds me of being in college and just a lot of fun stuff that happened in college around this period of time. But yes, daylight savings has not hit me like most years.
Well, that's good. You really don't want it to hit you, hopefully.
No.
And it's like pitch black out there now because, you know, it's almost 9 p.m. here. So
that's true. Yeah. The sun is just barely setting on my side of the earth. But that reminds me, one fun thing that I did this weekend was I went on a bike ride with my parents. The first time I rode a bike, I think I rode it once in college. And then before that, it was middle school, high school. So it's been a really long time. And you know, the saying, it's like riding a bike, like you never forget how to ride a bike. That happened to me. Like I didn't forget how to ride a bike and I was riding it, but I think my body, I don't know what happened. I think it forgot what it was doing and it forgot what kind of bike I was on, because the closest thing to a bike I've been doing in my adult life is SoulCycle, which is of course like a stationary bike. So as I was like rolling to a stop, I did like have you ever seen those fainting goats? Like all of a sudden they get shocked and then they fall over sideways. I don't know what happened, but I was like rolling to a stop and my body is just like, what you gonna do now? And then my mind is like, what you gonna do now? And my body's like, I don't know. And so I literally froze and I slowly came to a stop, bumped the curb and then literally fell but there was no one around to see me, and I just kind of laughed at myself. And then my parents, I was ahead of them on the trail, and then I went around to go see where my old apartment was because we were by my old apartment, and that's where I became a fainting goat and fell over. And then I went back to the car and they had beat me. I go, how'd you beat me? And they go, well, where did you go? I go, well, I went to go see where my old apartment was just for old time's sake, and I fell. And they go, what did you, how'd you fall? And I explained them the situation and they're like, oh god. And so I had like a little scrape on my knee, but other than that, it was mostly just my ego that got hurt. Oh, but it was
moments where your parents pretend they don't know you.
Yeah, but I don't know what happened. Like the only thing I can explain is I felt like one of those fainting goats where all of a sudden my body was just like, whoop, I guess we're going down. So that's what happened.
That's awesome.
So that's my status update. So I've got a scraped knee, but daylight savings has not affected me at all. So I think the next thing that we should do is continue our fill your feed suggestions. And so Renee, who would you like to go first as far as fill your feed?
Fill your feed. I will go first. All right.
Sounds great.
My selection this week, I've chosen All Sides Now. So if anyone's, hopefully some of you out there are familiar with All Sides Now. It is a cool page that I was introduced to that shows you articles, especially in politics. It can get a little bit conflicting because you have left messaging, right messaging, and center messaging. All Sides Now kind of shares all of them with you so you can see them next to each other to see the biases that exist on each side. The facts are shared, but they're shared with the biases of the individual groups, which is pretty awesome. It links all the sources so then you can go for yourself. Especially sometimes they can get a little bit confusing with all the information coming at you at once. This just gives you a quick glance that then you can choose to kind of dive deeper into. When topics come up that get a little bit confusing, depending on what side is basically saying it the loudest. So check it out.
Yeah, I'm always looking for more political ones to follow because, again, I'm freshly new into deep diving into political content because I used to avoid it, but 2020 kind of made it so you couldn't avoid it. So I'm always looking for new ones. The suggestion I have for listeners out there is the Fluid Project. Have you heard of the Fluid Project?
The Fluid?
Fluid, like fluidity, the Fluid Project.
I don't think so.
So let me tell you about it. So the Fluid Project exists to empower individuals to be themselves, to express themselves openly without judgment or fear, only freedom. So it's a genderless kind of brand. And they do a lot of clothing and they've gotten into the scent kind of like fragrances. They do makeup. They do all these sort of things. And so this is kind of their mission statement. It says the Fluid Project launched in March of 2018 in NYC and online for access worldwide as a gender-free fashion brand. We joined a movement of humans committed to challenging the ethos of traditions past that inhibit freedom and self-expression. Our world is grounded in purpose and humanity through fashion, community, activism, and education. The rising voice of today's youth reject gender binaries and desire an all-encompassing space, both physically and virtually, that allows us to wear what makes us feel good and express ourselves with freedom and authenticity. And that's a quote from Rob Garrett Smith, the founder of the Fluid Project. So it's fluid with a PH because PH stands for balance. So it's finding a balance between the genders and kind of breaking down the binaries. And it was really fun because I met Rob through one of my friends who did some freelance work for him. And then he launched this company in 2018. And they used to be down in wherever Jones Street is. they had a storefront down there. I'm blanking on what area you call that. I've been out of New York for too long. But anyways, they no longer have that physical storefront, but they are online. And they just have some really cool things as far as fashion, again, fragrance. But a lot of their big motivation is social justice. And so they have a lot of influencers, trans influencers, non-binary influencers, just LGBTQ influencers that really enlarge the spectrum of experience when it comes to gender and genderless and non-binary, just that sort of way of thinking and existing in life. And it's just really fun. And they have really colorful posts. They have a lot of great, like I said, influencers. They partner with a lot of different kind of brands. I know they just launched their fragrance on Sephora. If you're a fashion buff or a fragrance buff, but if you're social justice, this is a really great group to follow because they open the door to a lot of other influencers that have different experiences other than our own. And so I think it's a really fun one to follow. So again, it's at the Fluid Project, and Fluid again is spelled with PH. So I'm really excited for the listeners to start following these fill your feed suggestions. But Renee, you know what else I'm excited for?
I am going to guess that would be a Haikululuya.
Yes, yes. And so now we are back at the beginning of the rotation. So I think you are first, right?
Yo soy primero.
Okay.
Hallelujah goes like this.
Wait a second. I need to introduce what the topic is first.
Pass the torch to me.
Oh, or do you want to introduce it? Or
no way. You're the boss at introducing them. I
Okay, so this week we will be discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 27 through 28, just two short chapters through the queer perspective of order. So now, Renee, you have permission to share your Haikululuya.
Order in all things. Partake of milk before meat. The words of the Lord.
Okay. Did he talk about milk and meat? Did I just completely brush past that in this?
No. But they talked about the sacrament.
And
they
talked about
the voice of the Lord and who can actually reiterate it.
Gotcha, gotcha. I thought maybe you were just hungry because it's dinner time for me. So I was a little hungry. I was like, milk and meat. That sounds pretty good about now. But now that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, okay. I'll give you that. Here is my haiku hallelujah about order. To combat chaos, God has granted us order. This will protect us.
Ooh.
Yes. So, Renee, let's just jump right into our conversation about these chapters. When you think of order as a queer person of faith, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
When I think of order as a queer individual, I think I always think it, I don't know, my brain's very logical. It's like literally the definition of order, where it's like one goes before two and two goes before three, kind of like that. And in our lives, everything really does have an order. I feel like even in the coming out stages of our journey, it had like an order, if you will, like where you kind of accept it, you know, the idea that you are, then you choose to share it and you kind of come out, and then you basically accept yourself again. But now because you're out, you're accepting a different part of yourself. It's like first you accept that you are, and then you accept what you really are. So maybe I'm going on a tangent, but it just makes me think of like how our journeys do have an order. And with the Lord, that allows us to really explore our full potential and all those things. But at the same time, the order is, this is the part that gets interesting because the order is different for everybody. Like I just explained a particular order, but that was like mine, right? It's another person's order could be very different. But yeah, so I guess that's where I'm coming from. How about you, Dustin? What comes to your mind when you think of order?
I think of how order feels. Like when things are in order, they're in a row, it's just very peaceful. It feels like you have control over things. So when you are a member of the church and you haven't come out yet, or you haven't come to terms with your authentic self, there's an order to how your life is supposed to be as far as what church members feel like. You're supposed to get baptized when you're at 8, get the priesthood, graduate from high school, submit your application to BYU, BYU Idaho, accept BYU Idaho, so that way you can go on for like a year before you go on your mission, come back off of your mission, then go to BYU Provo, and then find someone to marry. So that's kind of like the order that a lot of people, at least that's what I started out going on. But then once you throw the wrench of accepting your authentic self, it kind of distorts all of that, but it doesn't necessarily knock things out of order. It kind of just rearranges everything into a new order that you now have to kind of navigate through. And so as I was kind of thinking about it and reading these scriptures, I started seeing how the church, there's a whole bunch of different definitions that go into order that I really see jumping out in these scriptures. And there's an order, meaning there's a time and there's a place, or there's order of how you're supposed to do things. There's a structure. And so that kind of jumped out at me that I'm like, there's a lot of things that kind of fall into order in kind of talking about us as queer people of faith, or us as just spiritual beings. And so then I started seeing why God was presenting order to the saints at this period of time, and then also presenting order to us. It's to kind of combat chaos, because we can see what happens when chaos is introduced into a society or into like a spiritual group. We saw what happened with the Nephites and Lamanites and all the people of the Book of Mormon when chaos ran amok and they basically led to their own undoing. And then I started looking at it as things that are seen as like a dichotomy, which are like kind of complete opposites, where you try to combat one using the other. Like you try to combat chaos using order. But at the same time, it's that whole thing where you don't understand order without the chaos. And so that's kind of like us with our spiritual selves and our authentic selves. Like at first growing up, we were thinking that one couldn't exist with the other. It's like you living as your authentic self meant that you were, quote unquote, like a heathen or of this world, which meant that you couldn't then live as your spiritual self. But I'm now noticing that they balance each other out, just kind of like you need a little bit of chaos so that way you can understand what order feels like. And even when you have order, nothing is really in perfect order, because God is always throwing things at us and testing us and seeing exactly how much we have learned. So he throws that curveball, which kind of throws that chaos into our order. So we can never really get rid of chaos completely by having order, just like we can never really get rid of our spiritual selves by living as our authentic selves, or living as our authentic selves and getting rid of our spiritual selves. If that's making sense. I'm seeing now that a lot of these things that are us versus them, we can't be us without them sort of thing. Like, we all need each other in order to exist. That's what I'm getting at. And I'm sorry if I went in a roundabout way, but that's kind of like what I got from reading these scriptures. So again, like I was mentioning before, that order kind of has three different definitions. One comes after two, two comes after three, that sort of thing. And then like this courtroom is in order, like it's following the structure that's supposed to. And then the other one that I found, which is relationship to theology, it says a society of monks, priests, nuns, etc., living according to certain religious and social regulations and discipline, and at least some of whose members take solemn vows. And another one is a society of knights bound by a common rule of life and having a combined military and monastic character. And so I thought that was really cool to kind of bring into our discussion today, because as he was talking about all these different revelations and who could make the revelations, he was talking about all these different people that could be seen in the order of the restoration of Christ, which is John the Baptist, and then Elijah, and all these other people that visited Joseph Smith to renew these keys. And then further on in the chapter, it is explained kind of like the armor of God to kind of protect yourself, which is also kind of, you could see as like a knight or any sort of warrior. And there was kind of an order as well when he was mentioning these different pieces of things to protect yourself from the world or to protect yourself spiritually. And I thought it was really cool that I think the order in which he mentions these are significant, because I think as a queer person of faith, we should look at the order as well, because it's sort of an order we should follow in coming to terms with our authentic self and our spiritual self. So in chapter 27, verse 15, it says, "Wherefore lift up your hearts and rejoice, and gird up your loins, and take upon you my whole armor, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all, that ye may be able to stand." And I said, God provides order to his revelations, not only to inspire me, but also to protect and strengthen my testimony as a queer person of faith. So I'm going to go through the different pieces of this armor of God. And I'm going to do kind of like, what is it? The Socratic method, where you learn by me asking you questions. So here we go. So the first thing he mentions is girding up your loins. And I mentioned this before with Hayden, I think last year, about girding up your loins. But what happens when someone girds up their loins, and what are they usually doing it for?
I actually don't know. In my mind, I was thinking the law of chastity is what I was thinking of, but what do you
know? That's a different kind of loins. But no, girding up your loins is, back in the day, they wore these long kind of tunics. And so that could get in their way when they were like running or they're preparing for battle. So what they would do is they would wrap it in a certain way that they became kind of like shorts. So that way their legs had access to movement. So they're girding their loins, and so that they can prepare themselves for this oncoming battle. And so I saw us as queer people of faith, before we can really do anything moving forward in our spiritual and authentic selves, we have to prepare ourselves for it. Like, if we go into our journey of harmony between our authentic and our spiritual selves without preparation, it could go into chaos. So I thought it was really cool that in order to go into battle, the first thing you do is you prepare the foundational garments for you to then put the armor onto. And I've mentioned Mad Men on this podcast before, but I had the privilege of meeting the costume designer for Mad Men, Janie Bryant, and she gave this lecture about how she always started with the foundational garments or underwear for the characters. And she made them wear that because it made them move differently. It made them act differently. It made them really embody the characters, because the foundational garments in that period of time of Mad Men, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, were different than they are today. So it really helped the characters embody themselves. So I really think it's important for us as queer people of faith to really prepare ourselves and prepare a foundation for then the rest of these armor of God to come onto us, so that way we can move forward in our quest for harmony between authentic and our spiritual selves. And so then the next thing he mentions is the breastplate. Renee, what does the breastplate physically protect?
The heart.
The heart. Yes. And how can we relate that to us as a queer person of faith preparing for our quest? Why do we need to protect our heart?
Can I tell you that I feel a little nervous every time you pose a question, because I don't want to say the wrong
No, I'll guide you into the right ways.
Oh, gosh. I'm in a test right now. teasing. But to answer your question, it was in regards to queer individuals when we wear our breastplates. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. And then also how it relates to the scripture as well. Like, it kind of is the same. God wants us to put on the breastplate because it protects our heart. How can it protect us spiritually and as a queer person of faith?
When we are on the journey as a queer individual, our hearts can be hurt by external forces, and that's where the armor protects us, right, if you will. Even on our spiritual journeys, it can hurt us in that way. But because it provides that protection, at the same time internally, we're also going through our own heartache, if you will, and it allows us to actually take the time to process it in the correct or the right way, a more righteous way, so that we can heal and better understand who we are. So I think that's one of the blessings of wearing this spiritual armor, is that it protects us from the hurt from the outside, be able to heal from the hurt that's been, and the growth that we need to do from the inside as well, I think. Like, even though sometimes some people, like, especially in the queer community, the hurt comes from our own members, but, you know, that sucks. But having this breastplate that is between you and Heavenly Father is key in that case.
Yeah, I love that. And the only thing I'll add is our heart is where we also have a change of heart, where we start loving ourselves rather than despising ourselves as queer people of faith, because we are taught to basically be fearful of our authentic selves because it doesn't lead to eternal salvation. So when we have that change of heart, that is where adversaries are going to focus on, because that is, if they pierce that, they can get to our soul and undo all of the changing of heart that we did. So that's another thing too, is why we have to protect it. So then the next order that they talk about is, they were talking about basically the feet and putting on like these boots. And so what do feet, what is their purpose?
The purpose of our feet is to allow us to move forward.
Yes, yes, yes. Motivation. Now that we've girded up our loins and we prepared ourselves and we've protected our heart, we now need to have the motivation to move forward in this quest. And so that's the next thing, is we now protect our feet. We put on our shoes, because if we walk out without our shoes, we're not going to make it very far, and we're going to either stop where we are, or we're going to have to turn around and come back. But if we put on our shoes and our protective soles, like literally protect our souls, then that can allow us to move forward. So then the next thing that they mention is the shield. What is the shield used for?
Protect.
To protect.
The armor doesn't protect. An extra like layer.
What kind of protection? Is it a defensive or an offensive?
Both, depending on how you use it, because you can ram when it becomes offensive, but if you're just standing there, it's defensive.
So it's offensive, but the main use of it is to defend yourself, which I think is something as queer people of faith, we need to really work on. Well, we need to find a healthy balance between offensive and defensive sort of tactics, where we need to first just use that shield to defend ourselves, because it takes more effort to be offensive than it is to defend most of the time. Like, we can kind of stand our ground, hold the shield, and let whatever's coming at us. So then the next order is the helmet. And what does the helmet protect?
The head, the brain, the main unit that controls everything else. I'm just throwing guesses up.
No, that's good. And so that's the function. But then what else happens in our brain and our mind?
Processing power.
Our thoughts. Yes, yes, our thoughts. So we're protecting our thoughts, because if they're able to pierce your thoughts, it can work it down to your heart, and then you're in trouble again. And so that's another thing too, is it's another protection. And so then the last thing that they mention is the sword. And what is that sword? Is that sword an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon most of the time? What's its first use?
Offensive.
Yes. And why do you think it's listed last in this order? I think it's an order of importance. I think God had this as an order of importance, because our first default shouldn't be to come in swords blazing. That's what I feel like. I feel like we need to prepare. We need to have a change of heart. We need to have motivation. We need to protect ourselves and our minds before we go in with the slashing of the sword. I think that's the absolute last resort when we come to terms with ourselves and then going into battle with those who kind of are adverse to us, if that makes sense.
Well, I find it interesting, because you said it's the last thing, but doesn't he also say, and my word, which I shall reveal unto you, isn't that the final thing that he gives you, is the knowledge on how to use all of it?
Yeah. Well, that's another important thing too, is I think it's important maybe it wasn't an order of importance, but it was, the order is important, because if you were to give you the word right off the bat, you wouldn't know what to do with it and you wouldn't be protected. Like if you go into battle with only your sword, what's good is his word if you don't have all those other things protecting you? So I think I'm going to rephrase what I said before. The order isn't of importance, but it's important that there's an order.
No, I wasn't disagreeing with you. I think you're totally right. I think the order actually is important. I think one of the things that I found fascinating as I reread these is that it seems like the Lord was telling you a lot of how to prepare yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole idea of that before you can take care of others, you have to be able to take care of yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A lot of what the Lord has prepared you for at the beginning really is a lot of self-care and preparing you, whether it be and with all these different things. And the last two items that he finishes off with, now I'm giving you a sword, but he specifically is the sword of my spirit. And so that's like basically saying this is a sword that goes beyond the flesh. It can touch spirit. Like it's that's like a, my words will sometimes seem hard and painful to people, but it will create change. It will create something different. But I'm giving you my words, which reveals onto you, you know, all the things that you must do after that. And so after that, it's like the action items. Now that you're ready, here's the sword, here's my words, go do it. But yeah, no, I think it's important for you to take the order to be ready for yourself and then be able to like extend it beyond yourself after that.
That's a majority of what chapter 27 was talking about. It kind of like changed gears on you. So at first it was talking about the sacrament, and then it was talking about this order of God's disciples, and then it was talking about protecting yourself. So 28 is where God describes the order of who exactly is going to be the mouthpiece for the church, because we have Hiram Page who thinks that he's getting these revelations on behalf of the church, and God's like, no. We're going to only have one mouthpiece here. It's going to be the prophet, seer, and revelator. And so that's kind of what chapter 28 is about, which I think is great because, like I was saying at the beginning of this episode, without that order, there was going to be chaos. And as we saw in the Book of Mormon, we saw what happens when there's chaos in regards to the Lord's word. And that's great. I love having that. But what I thought was really powerful was God wanted to make it clear who spoke on behalf of the church, but he didn't want to discourage us from having personal revelation. And one of the verses where he says that is Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 28, verse 4. He says, "And if thou art led at any time by the Comforter to speak or teach, or at all times by the way of the commandment unto the church, thou mayest do it." And so that's him talking to Oliver Cowdery saying, yes, Joseph Smith speaks on behalf of the church, but when you're out there being a messenger for the church, if the Comforter tells you to speak from your heart, not on behalf of the church, but on behalf of yourself through the Spirit, go for it, because that's how you change hearts. And so I said, identifying as a queer person of faith actually grants me entrance into God's order, not deny it. For God commands that if I'm inspired to speak my whole truth, thou mayest do it. I know that what I say isn't speaking on behalf of the church. And it's probably going to be a very long time before the leadership of the church can speak on behalf of the church for LGBTQ members. But I do know that I can find comfort until that happens in my personal revelation, that God will speak for me, through me, in order to comfort me when times of discouragement comes, when the leadership of the church aren't necessarily speaking on behalf of the queer people as fast as I would like them to.
No, I'll be honest, like, I've always loved the way Heavenly Father does everything, even in our lives, how there really is an order to the way he's planned things in our lives. And sometimes it's hard for us to see it. And I do like how at this point where he gave the revelation of who was to be listened to, it wasn't just, you know, coming out of nowhere. He'd established his church through Joseph Smith. He'd organized and found the individuals that were going to help the church grow through Joseph Smith. It made sense that that pattern, that order of communication would continue. The only difference is because the church was so new and now there were established leaders, and usually in leadership, if they're leaders, usually all of them get to kind of share their thoughts and opinions and stance on things, right? And so I found it very powerful, like that the Lord, this is the moment where he's like, hey, now that you're all established, we have our leaders, there will be revelation. But also be aware that when it comes to the church, there would be one voice, just like there's been in the past. And I think I don't know, this is going to maybe be stretching it a little bit, but I'm going with it. Okay, so you tell me if I overstretch it. As a queer individual in my life, I feel like for a long time, I was kind of swayed and guided by the voice of others, the leadership of others. And I feel like I've never felt like that meant I was weaker or less confident in myself. But I think what it was is I didn't really know what my path was. So it was easier for me to be carried in the currents of others. So for me, that was my order. But now, like, I am better able to speak for myself and like carry my own weight in the decisions that I make. But I love that the Lord, and I know this isn't the case for everyone, so I do feel the privilege put individuals in my life that really blessed my life, where I was guided to do things that have put me in a place that now I can help others. And I can pass that on for when they don't feel like they're ready to handle it by themselves, that I can be an example that they can maybe model until they're ready to kind of navigate their own path. And so that was the stretch, in the sense of like, I love that the Lord really does prepare his sons and daughters to be voices for him in different situations. So it could be said that for you and me, our voices have been prepared to be voices for the queer community within the church. You know what I mean? And there are other individuals out there, which is great. And not saying that we're speaking for the church, but hopefully we're being heard by the church.
No, I think that wasn't a stretch at all. I love how you shared that, because it's a great example that sometimes we just kind of fake it till we make it. Like, you were a convert to the church, so you were already learning this brand new kind of way of life on top of learning who you were as well. And so sometimes you followed a certain path or a certain order because you felt like that's what you were supposed to be doing, because you didn't know there were other paths that you're supposed to take. And I think members of the church who are queer kind of do that same thing, where I'm supposed to take this because I was taught this leads to salvation. But then when you start deep diving into the scriptures and realizing that there's no one straight path, there's a multitude of all these different paths based on who we are, and God knows us, and he's able to put all of these different paths into an eternal order that only he can kind of see. And it takes us small-minded humans to see our own paths and to realize just because ours is different from someone else's doesn't mean it doesn't fit into the order of God's eternal path.
Well, thank you for letting me know that I didn't stretch too far.
No. And who am I to say you stretched too far when I was went into this long philosophical dichotomy versus chaos and order stuff at the beginning of the episode. But no, it wasn't a stretch. At least it wasn't to me. And I think right now is a great time to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. And Renee and I just went on a long philosophical journey through Doctrine and Covenants chapter 27, 28 through the queer perspective of order. And so Renee, after that journey, it was a journey because we went on some very interesting tangents. They weren't very, I wouldn't call them tangents. They were a road less traveled. But anyways, what do you feel called to do based on a discussion?
Our discussion of doing things in order, actually, this is something that I was going to share in my intro and I totally forgot. I spoke to my bishop because I asked them, I wanted to see, it wasn't me asking permission necessarily, but kind of me sharing that I want to be more open with my ward about my sexuality and sharing it maybe at the pulpit, just so that in case there's other individuals who, you know, could use someone to talk to, or someone who's in a journey similar to theirs, they'd be aware of it. My ward is older because I'm in a family ward, and so it will be interesting if I do. But we decided we'd both pray and like figure out what, you know, the best way to be that, to share with the members and things like that. And so, yeah, so it was cool. He was open to it. Talked about probably like all the members have someone in their lives who is, so they all have some journey experience to it. So that was kind of like a unique experience. So I feel like I'm called to continue moving in that order that I'm going. I'm taking my own approach, and I know everybody has their own approach to choosing to share things in their wards. This is just mine. So yeah, so that's what I feel like I'm called to do. How about you, Dustin?
Well, I feel called to join you in your prayers for you talking with your bishop, because I know how tricky it is to navigate church leadership as far as LGBTQ issues. Well, they're not issues, but when it comes to LGBTQ members in the church, and it can get frustrating for a multitude of different reasons. And something as simple as openly saying you're a gay member of the church from the pulpit may seem simple to you, but sometimes church leadership likes to put up the red tape. And so I'm going to join you in your prayers and hopefully soften the heart of your bishop that you're talking to make it available for you to share your authentic self with your congregation, because it is so important that our stories be told and our experiences be shared, because nothing's going to change if people don't hear it from us directly. That's my calling. So I hope that didn't put you on the spot, and I hope that didn't make you feel uncomfortable, but I will be right there with you. And if you need any support, let me know.
Yeah, totally will. Thank you so much.
And listeners out there, if you need my prayers as well, they're out up for grabs. Just kidding. But if you'd like to contribute to any of the discussion today, feel free to send us a email at lovespokenqueer@gmail.com or send us a direct message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And with that, all that's left to do is just to thank you, listeners, for listening. And remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time. Bye. You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.